As we've been doing all fall, we'll be looking today at yet another text from the Hebrew Scriptures that would have shaped Jesus and his self-understanding. The psalm you're about to hear would have been read in worship and synagogue and temple. The psalms were the prayer book, the hymn book, if you like, of ancient Israel. As you listen to this particular psalm, note how the author of the hymn begins by naming how he feels that God stepped in at a particular point in his life when he seemed near death. And having named that experience, the psalmist makes some affirmations about God's character after that. And then he outlines what he's going to do in response. Listen for, in particular, the words, thanksgiving sacrifice. Listen now for God's word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving maid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May the Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. As Pastor Susan shared in this pulpit a few weeks ago, the book of Psalms gives us language to speak to God about a wide range of human experience. And from a broad palette of human emotion, are you angry? There's a psalm for that. Are you feeling threatened? There's a psalm for that too. Are you at the point of death? There's a psalm for that. Feeling abandoned on the one hand or super close to God on the other? There's a psalm for that too. And there are certainly tons of psalms that are available when it comes to expressing gratitude to God. The psalms may not quite be like apps on the smartphone of prayer, but name a feeling or an event in life, and there really is a psalm for that. Jesus would have grown up listening to those psalms, reciting them, even singing them in worship. They really would have seeped into his consciousness, his very soul. That may be why the psalms, more than any other Hebrew scripture, are on Jesus' lips in the Gospels. Interestingly, Jesus does not quote the psalm I read from at any point in the Gospels, at least not so we can hear it. Nowhere does he say, I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord, or I will pay my vows in the presence of all his people, or you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. However, whether he used the specific words or not, the concept in today's psalm of the sacrifice of thanksgiving would have been deeply ingrained in Jesus. Not only would he have read and sung about it in the Psalms, it was part of the tradition of Israel to offer such a thanksgiving sacrifice to God for all that God had done in the life of an individual and the community. The 7th chapter of the book of Leviticus prescribes a thanksgiving sacrifice of well-being. And that's in addition to all of the other sacrifices commanded throughout the Torah as well. And the notion of the tithe, giving a tenth of one's substance, was also based in the notion of thanksgiving. It was a way to operationalize, to live out and practice one's response of gratitude. It was a way to show in an expression that cost something. All this that we have is a gift. It comes from beyond us. It's ultimately due to God and not to us. The Hebrew scriptures and the tradition of ancient Israel were clear about who ultimately deserved thanks and praise. So Psalm 116 asks, "What shall I return to the Lord for all of God's bounty to me?" And it answers, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows to God in the presence of all God's people, and I will offer a thanksgiving sacrifice." Now, thank goodness we don't sacrifice animals or even bring grain offerings to show our thankfulness. I'm glad I'm not a priest in ancient Israel. That would have been a very smelly, smelly job. But I have been thinking lately of sacrifices. I've been thinking about what we sacrifice whenever, I mean, anytime, you and I express gratitude of any sort. What are we sacrificing when we express gratitude? What is it that I'm giving up anytime I say thank you? Whenever I say thank you to God, or to anyone else for that matter, I am surrendering a bit of the idea that I accomplished all of this myself. When I write a thank you note or pray a prayer of gratitude or express my appreciation for what someone has done for me, I am giving up at least a smidgen of the notion that what I have and who I am is somehow all about and due to my effort. In other words, I'm sacrificing my ego. I'm putting words and actions to the truth that the axis of the world really does not go through the center of my head. That the very fact that I have life at all or any resources on which to draw is something that is beyond just me and my ego. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is a sacrifice of at least a little bit of ego. The African-American novelist Alice Walker once said, "Thank you is the best prayer that anyone could say." I say that one a lot, she said. Thank you expresses extreme gratitude. It expresses humility. It expresses understanding. Humility, indeed. Maybe that's what we show whenever we give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In the 12-step rooms I spend time in every week, there's a concept that is known as right-sizing, or becoming right-sized. It's all about perspective and understanding what you are responsible for and what you are not responsible for. When you are right-sized, you know that you aren't and you don't have to be God. You don't get to manage everything and control it like you've got some magic wand from on high. Indeed, there's a higher power from beyond you that can restore you to sanity. When you are right-sized, you don't think everything is all about you, But you do also remember that there are things that are yours to do. Right-sized people intuitively know about and practice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. They are grateful, and they show it in the way they live and give of themselves and their substance. So before we go any further, let me invite you to consider with me just a few of the things for which we can be grateful. Some things that would be, I don't know, what the psalmist calls all of God's bounty to me and to you. The first is this: we're not in this thing called life all alone. Although friends and loved ones are sometimes busy and there are times when we might need to say, hey, please, don't forget about me. There isn't one of us here who in a period of need couldn't pick up the phone and say, I need you, and have somebody from this church or a larger friend group show up and be present with us. We might have to make a phone call. We might have to call twice or send a reminder email. But I guarantee you that somebody would come. God is there for us, to be sure. But God takes on flesh in the people who will come and be with us. Thanks be to God for that. Number two, we have resources, every single last one of us in this space this morning. We have resources that exceed the majority of human beings across the globe possess. Even in times of financial stress, we are in a better position than most people in the world. We have people on whom we can rely. The late Jim Hightower once said about a fellow Texas politician, he was born on third base and he thinks he hit a triple. Well, maybe not every single last one of us here was born on third base. I guarantee you that compared to the rest of the world, all of us were born at least on first, if not second. And if we're really honest, lots of us were born on third. That's something to be grateful for. Because where we were born wasn't our doing. Thanks be to God. Third, we have a congregation and a staff. I say that with very little ego. We have a congregation and a staff that is frankly amazing. We have spirituality and learning opportunities and programs to take part in. We have fellow parishioners with whom we journey. We have consistently inspiring worship services and outstanding music and opportunities to serve others in the larger community and the world through local and international mission. We have an amazing congregation. You know, one reason I know that? Because I do work in the presbytery, the larger presbytery. I know what some of the other churches out there are like. They're all filled with faithful people. But thanks be to God for Emmanuel. Number four, most of us, probably all of us, have stories of how this space or somewhere else in our lives became a thin place. God showed up in the form of somebody who cared, or an unexpected healing or recovery or the strength to make it through a time when the healing we sought didn't come, or a tragedy knocked us for a loop. Most of us have stories of how God showed up. And we were reminded that it's not all about us, but the divine surely does care about us. Number five. I bet if we took the time, any one of us could make a list of things that we are grateful for that would fill sheets and sheets of paper. Ralph Waldo Emerson was right. We should cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to us and give thanks continuously. And because all things have contributed to our advancement, we should include all things in our gratitude. What shall we render to God for all of God's bounty to us? What about the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Even though Jesus never uses the phrase the sacrifice of thanksgiving in the Gospels, he certainly embodied it with his life. Even in the Gospel of John, which is so focused on identifying Jesus with God that he's always saying, I am, I am, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the living water. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection. He's always saying, I am. But even in John's gospel, Jesus' life is about sacrificing ego. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, he said, it will bear no fruit. The way he embodies for us and in us is a way of self-giving love. Centered in trust and gratitude was Jesus' stance towards life in general. You see it when in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, he's faced with a starving multitude, and it's only after giving thanks to God that he breaks the loaves and distributes them to the hungry crowd, and he does the same thing, by the way, in Luke and John. He knows and trusts that there will somehow be enough. You see Jesus centered in trusting gratitude and how he withdrew time and time again for prayer and connection with God, only to go back out again to give of himself for the sake of others. You see that trusting and centered gratitude whenever he looks up to heaven and says, I thank you, Father, that you have heard me. Or I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. And you certainly see it when he takes a cup and a loaf of bread at the Last Supper and he gives thanks before he breaks the bread and shares the cup with his disciples the night before he gives himself on a cross. I think of Jesus when I read again the words of John F. Kennedy. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. It was several years ago that, probably during November, Ann Evans was worship leader, and she quoted from Melody Beatty about gratitude. And those words, I never forgot them. What Melody Beatty understands is that there's something about the sacrifice of thanksgiving that is a little bit like a key. She writes, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Some time ago, I told the story. It might have been from this pulpit. I know I've told it from another one about how Judith and I, during our dating time, were separated for 9 months when she was over in Scotland. And we wrote 5 letters a week back and forth. This was before Skype and FaceTime and email even. It was before the ubiquity of cell phones. We wrote 5 letters a week back and forth from Scotland to Atlanta. We did it not because we had to. We did it because we wanted to. And I had my teddy bear write one letter a week to Judith. And I did that not because I had to, but because I wanted to. Thank you, Dietrich Bierhoffer. And we got engaged over the phone, not because we had to, but because we wanted to. And we got married. When she got back, we got married 6 months later, not because we had to. But because we wanted to. The thing about the sacrifice of gratitude is we don't do it finally because we have to. We do it because we want to. Thanks be to God for this congregation, for this opportunity to serve, for this day and this life. Thanks be to God for being right-sized. Thanks be to God for God's love embodied in you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.